Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Actually, every time I hear the phone ring since that one incident at Christmas time, I always think it's my phone, so it gets me a little nervous. Last week in our gospel lesson, Jesus sent the disciples out to do the work that they had watched him do for so long. And he bid them go, taking no extra coat, going where they could go and proclaim God, proclaim love. And off they went two by two to do that work. In the gospel for today, they have now returned full of themselves and exhausted. They've been out there doing the work that Jesus had called them to, and they come home and they are excited, but tired. And Jesus says to them, not way to go, I'm going to give you guys a raise. And then tomorrow you can go out and work twice as hard, and there'll be a bonus in it, I'm sure. Instead, he says to them, my friends, come away to a deserted place, to a desert place, and rest. Come and rest. Well, those are words many of us hope for each and every day. In a recent study, we have found out that despite all of our studies that have been done and all of the cautions of psychologists and pastors and doctors, that Americans continue to work more than ever before. We put in more hours and take less vacation. Now, we can debate the whole thing about how productive we actually are. Facebook is killing production, I have to tell you. But we're spending a lot of time working and not much time in the deserted places, in the eremos, to which Jesus calls the disciples. We, in fact, find our self-worth and our physical worth in the work that we do. And the people that we value the most are the people who we look up to, who work all the time. I'm going to rat Mark out. Hopefully he went out. Oh, sorry. I was hoping you were out for coffee. Mark said to me this morning, I'm going to have to take a Sunday off in August. Mark, how long have you been working for us? You've been ministering here for years, and how many Sundays has Mark missed? Have a nice day off. We value people like work, like Mark, who work, 19 hours a day and then look for more. And yet, we know that we are not made that way in the same way that Jesus knows that his disciples need a time apart. Holy rest. Well, in a strange twist of fate, you know how the story goes. Jesus says, come, my friends, let us go off to a place apart, to the eremos. Whereupon, of course, the crowds heard that they were going to take a vacation, and they booked a flight and got there first. And there they are. They have already arrived when Jesus and the disciples are there. And it says that the throng just swept around them. And they had such great need. Broken, hurting, hoping people. And Jesus had compassion on them. And he did all that they needed. Holy work. The trick for Jesus and the disciples is to figure out how to balance holy work and holy rest in a way that they can be faithful to their God and to their lives. It's hard to figure out how to do, and in fact, it seems like Jesus fails as often as he is successful in having holy rest. Because the need is so incredibly great. So Jesus had compassion on them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And they were healed, and they were thrilled. And they clambered around the legs and the feet of Jesus, hoping even to just touch his hem, because the need was so great. It's a wonder that Jesus made it all the way to the cross, frankly. I think sometimes when I read especially the Gospel of Mark with its constant emphasis on Caiaphas, and immediately he did this, and then he ran over there, this Jesus didn't just fall down out of sheer exhaustion. Out of what we've come to call these days compassion fatigue. So much. So many genuine desires. So many hopes. But he doesn't. Jesus understands that relationship between holy work and holy rest really, really well. And there'll come a time in a little while in the Gospel of Mark where again he will take the disciples off to a place by themselves to do what? To pray. To pray. To commune with their God and with one another in powerful and life-changing ways. In an article that I read recently about a teacher in a college, she talked about being part of a small department in the university. And she said it was quaint when I first got there. I thought how quaint it was that every Tuesday afternoon, the staff in our department would all come together and we would have tea. No agenda, no in-service, no continuing education, no planning. They would just come together for tea and conversation. Just an hour and a half or so. She said this went on for some time, and they were happy. But it was just too quaint, really. And as schedules got heavier and more reports needed to be written, and the chancellor needed yet another accounting of what the teachers were up to, the tea began to get shorter and shorter until it simply did not exist at all. That holy rest, that time for connecting in an unstructured way, for getting to know each other, for sharing funny stories or telling jokes or, God forbid, playing cribbage or backgammon, was simply wiped out for the sake of work. For the hope of greater productivity, we lose holy rest. But you see, we're not made that way. And we know we're not made that way. And Jesus knows that his disciples are not made that way, to work and to work and to work. But instead, they need time and space to be renewed and refreshed. I don't think it's an accident that in Genesis, there is the seventh day. Which, by the way, is Saturday, in case anybody wanted to know. Sunday is the first day of the week. But on the seventh day, God said, God, rest. God didn't answer her cell phone or take any texts, turned off the email, didn't even, where's Rafi? God did not watch TV on the seventh day. But engaged in holy rest. In some ways, that holy rest meets our deepest and most profound need, which is not to be busy or to be productive, but simply to be. Every Sunday morning, we come here for our holy rest, except for all of those people, and the ushers in the back, and Mary Jo and her crew in the kitchen. But it's holy work. Someone once asked me one time, well, when do you worship? When is your Sabbath? And I said, between 3 and 4. When I pray. But is it enough? It wasn't enough for the disciples, I think, and it's not enough for Jesus. Somehow we need to begin to understand our lives within the rhythm of God's creation, that we are certainly made for work, but we are also made for rest. And when we work, may it be the holy work of compassion for one another, of healing where we can heal, of bringing hope where there is hopelessness, for feeding the hungry, even in our jobs, our occupations, as opposed to our vocations, there is room for holy work and prayer. And I think it makes all the difference. Now, this is one of those do as I say, not as I do. Yesterday, I said to Jeannie, I said, we have spent the whole day doing nothing. And she said, well, the bat fell off the toilet. Have you ever had that happen? It really sucks. I mean, if the tank falls off the back of your toilet, all the water in the tank is not in the toilet anymore. That was a neat discovery. So I ended up having to, you know, the usual 2 or 3 trips to City Mill to get the right parts and fix the toilet, and I made a fender cover, and I did some stuff out in the shop, and to me that was, gosh, what a worthless day. I mean, I'm a workaholic, and I know it. And I know some of you are as well, but what I'm finding as I get older and maybe slightly smarter is that that is not holy work or holy rest. It's busyness. And it does not meet the deepest needs. I think what Jesus calls us to is to begin to look at what the deepest needs in our lives are. Not our wants, but our deepest and most profound needs, which often have something to do with love and service and renewal, creativity, and peace. And maybe learn a way to be a little less busy and a little more compassionate. I had to laugh. Poor MJ and her crew. By the way, I don't know about your life, but the more we plan, the worse it gets. And so we do this Wounded Warrior lunch, and we always think we have everything all planned for, and the food was all here, and everything was all ready to go. And I looked in the thing, and Fred had bought turkey burgers. And I said to MJ, for goodness sake, these are Marines. Turkey burgers for Marines? It turned out it was just fine. And I just kind of got more and more upset as we sort of went through all the stuff. Where's the ketchup? And then I was like, for goodness sake, you have got to be kidding me. Then they got to the gate. And the very polite officer, because see, I decided I was going to be a good shepherd and not go. Let the sheep go. They got to the gate and they said, oh, I'm sorry, you can't come on base. Why? Well, let's see. Your registration wasn't current and safety checks wasn't done right. And so here they were with all of this food and all of this desire to be compassionate and helpful. And the Marines are saying no. MJ calls and says, what do we do? And the first thing I thought was, you idiot, you should have gone with them. I mean, like they needed the company at the gate, not letting you in. Even in our attempt to be compassionate and loving, sometimes we are thwarted in the same way that Jesus takes his poor disciples to go and have a rest, and everybody shows up with them. And then some angel, who apparently is now unidentified, we do not know who it was, simply said, follow me. And a fellow in fatigues took them up to the gate and let them in. And then the next car came in and the guard looked at him and he went. The next car came up and he went. I mean, I don't know who this guy was, but if you're a Marine and you can tell the guard at the gate and have them respond, you must have some kind of rank. It was Jesus. It was Jesus in camo. I had no idea. Kills my pacifist theology. But through all that frustration, through all of that kind of craziness, people were served. Good was done, and compassion was poured out. Holy work. So for all of us, as we go from this place on this day, maybe we need to begin to see where there is holy work and holy rest for us and for our world. To look more deeply at our compassionate response to the greatest needs of the world. And maybe concentrate less on busyness and more on what is holy and God's gift in our lives. The disciples went for a rest that day, and they found instead holy work. And may your life be holy work and holy rest, deeply rooted in the creation of a God who loves us for who and how we are in each and every moment. Amen.